Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's
awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's, so
that's awesome. Oh, awesome.
That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford.
Stevie B.
Bradford A.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey. Oh, man. It is the beginning of another week. We're taping this on a Monday. You guys will hear it on a Wednesday. We are in the final funnel into, we're in that swirly part of getting down to our tour dates. And so I got to tell you, there's a little anxiety just because we haven't done it in a long time. We're putting together our material. We're getting ready. How you feeling?
Well, if we're going by the swirly, we're halfway down the toilet for sure. So, I'm trying to climb my way out right now. Monday, listen, man, you know, when this stuff, these tours start happening and all these restrictions and capacity limits and, you know, not doing a meet and greet now, we're doing the Q&A though, which is going to be such a blast for the VIP ticket holders. There's just a lot of moving parts. And I know you guys listening know there are a lot of moving parts, but especially with these constraints on us, there are a ton of moving parts. But you know, it's Monday. We just hit the ground running, buddy. And we're going to be sprinting. We're going to be sprinting until we get on the plane Friday to fly to Baltimore. That's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not coming up for air until then, but
no,
it's
dude,
okay.
I'm chugging along until I can chug.
That's true.
But, good, huh?
You know, listen, we're having fun. You're coming down this week. We're working together. We're going to be able to get some stuff done for sure. And, you know, it's just going to be, it's busy and it's great. I'm grateful. It's awesome. Let's go.
Yeah, man. So, you know, we wanted to talk a little bit about the show today.
No way.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about General Hospital today.
This is the Peter Appreciation Pod.
That's amazing.
This is a full-fledged Peter.
Oh, this is it the Peter appreciation or the Wes appreciation?
Both.
Yeah, both. Well, both. Listen. You know, again, I'm not on social that much as I used to be, which has been fantastic, but which has been great.
Let's not mince words here.
No, we're not. But I've seen a lot of good. I mean, there's good stuff. There's good action stuff going on right now. Yeah. There's a lot of people. And this is what I love about what's happening now. And I've said this numerous times and you have too. It's always better when more people are involved and more stories intertwine. Right. It's always just better. Like,
well, I mean, for, you know, obviously it makes the story more interesting when more stories can come together and overlap and relate to each other. But as we know, not everybody, you know, like some people have their favorite characters, right? They want to see their favorite characters. And when more people are involved, that brings in more fan bases to be invested in the storyline, which is cool too.
Yeah, totally. And I know there's a lot going on. And I know a lot of people want Peter dead.
Hey. Is Peter the new Nell?
I don't know. That's a good question. Because I know Spinelli wants him dead. I know multiple people everywhere around the world want Peter dead. So,
but you know, just from my point of view, like I have really,
what's your point of view?
I've really enjoyed. I mean, first of all, I've really enjoyed working with Wes. Wes is a fantastic human being. If you've ever had the privilege to talk to him and or meet him, the warmth and friendliness and just like he has the kindest eyes, which is funny because when you see Peter flare up, you're like, woof. But Wes himself is just a gentle giant. He is tall. Yeah. That is real.
That's real.
That's not a Peter Heinrich camera trick. Wes himself is very tall. But he's just loving. And I mean, he writes poetry. Dude. He's a creative, wonderful human being. So it's fun to see him going to Peter at work and you know, going the opposite direction. But for me,
yeah, he's yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
but so like obviously enjoying to work with him, but to have a foil is so much fun for Spinelli to have a not just a rival or a competitor, whatever like that, but like a true foil where he is truly pitted against him. And this is kind of the first time that I can recall Spinelli being so like unabashed about it. Like,
right.
Just giving zero F's about him. Right.
Like right.
In the past, you know, when she was with Nathan, the cop, you know, like he couldn't really, there was nothing bad about Nathan. Nathan was an outstanding police officer. But like Peter is like a, you know, an international villain in Spinelli's mind. And so he can just be,
totally.
I've never seen Spinelli so outwardly just disgusted by someone's presence. And that has been so fun for me to play.
Yeah, totally. And look, I know from a viewer standpoint, when somebody keeps doing stuff all the time, you're like, oh, get rid of this guy already. Blah, blah, blah. You know, we have two guys right now on the show, Cyrus and Peter.
Yeah.
And something's got to give.
Probably.
Right. Something's going to break. We don't know. We don't know who's going to die, if they're going to die. Who knows? Right. So this is what's cool to, because we don't know yet it works. So we're just kind of watching it unravel also, you know.
Right.
But, which is a you fun know, adventure as far to be as, on. As,
yeah.
As far as Wes goes, you know, the guy is so, it's so nice. I asked Laura, I go, is this real? Is this dude like this? She goes, 100% he's like this all the time. I go, man, this is amazing. Yeah. So he's just, like you touched on, he's just it's really nice to meet somebody who really is as humble and gracious as Wes is for, you know, for his job, for his life. And that's really cool to see. So I'm looking forward to see how this whole thing plays out, because there's a lot of people on the canvas that he's crossed. So we'll see.
We talk about when we talk about, you know, villains, you know, there's always that that instinct maybe to play against the villainy. Ooh, I want to be liked. Ooh, I want to, you know. And what's been cool, I think, for the process and his arc, like he's let it. He's just going for it now, which is fun.
Yeah, totally.
Because over the arc, you know, he's had, and also probably because he didn't know, like, you don't know what the outcome is going to be. No. When you start playing this character and you get told, oh, you're the son of Faison, you have this in you, but you're trying to have a real life. Like, that's tough to play, because you're like, ooh, what are his real instincts, and when do I show them? And, you know, how do I balance that? And boy, totally. It might be nice to lean into the, I'm a good guy. I want this, and I want to treat people and, you know, really have a family and have that. But then it's also fun to be like, and if I don't get that,
I'm going to burn it down.
You know,
you mentioned something interesting last time, or somebody, a question, I think from one of our Patreon peeps said something like, you know, for me personally, in my personal life, there's been an evolution of growth. Has that affected the way I play Jason Morgan? Right. And that's a really interesting question, because it's hard for you not to turn yourself off when you've been playing a character for so long. Right. Mm. So like in Wes's instance, if he knew, or if you knew, or any actor knew that you're going to play this type of character, this villain, for 4 weeks on a movie, like your singular focus when you step on set is, I'm this bad guy, or I'm this guy, right?
Yeah.
Right. And you can figure out your arc, usually, because it's in the script. If not, you can do your own thing, but you know you're going to play this guy. So sometimes I think with actors, when you have a character that you're playing for so long and you really don't know how to navigate it, because you really don't know who he is yet.
Right.
Because sometimes the writers don't know who they are yet.
Right. And the defining storyline of the character has not been written yet.
Right. So I think it's when you're playing something every day, sometimes it's hard to, because Wes is such a nice guy, to go, okay, I'm shutting it all down. I got to be this guy. But then, you know, 2 weeks later, you might get a script and you're like, no, wait, you're that guy and this guy. So it's, you know, I don't know if viewers really understand that a lot of it's the own actors trying to navigate without really knowing what the outcome is, or, hey, where are we going from here? Like in a movie, you know, you've done movies, you get the script, you go, oh, here's my character's journey.
Right.
Oh, I can pace this out just fine. I get it.
Right.
Yeah, it shoots out of order.
I know when to lay on this. I know when to play against it. Because, for all those reasons.
Right. Yeah. So then on top of it, you know, like we shot, I don't even know how many shows last week. I did 12.
Right.
But we must have shot 15.
Right.
And they were all out of order.
Yeah.
There was nothing in order.
Right.
Like sometimes we literally are playing the end of the movie and then have to go back and refigure our steps to get to the end that we played.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times have you gone, oh, that's where we are?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well,
and that's the thing is like sometimes
I wish I would have known.
Well, and also you might be filming the peak or the climax of what's supposed to happen. And you don't necessarily know it's that either. Like you don't know how important the moment that you're doing is because you don't know what comes before it or after it.
Right. So I'm just going to remind viewers now in one, what is this day? What is the day today?
It's
in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Bring this question up exactly what we're talking about shooting the ending first or beginning last, whatever. Bring it up because I have a great story for it.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
So, well, anyway, we wanted to pay tribute to our friend and also just remind you guys what a great guy he is. And also revisit our conversation with him that we had over a year ago.
Mm-hmm,
Because we get to learn such great things about his past and how he came to this. And learn just more about the individual versus, dwelling on the darkness of Heinrich Peter. Really get to delve into the beautiful person that Wes is. So thanks for tuning in this week and enjoy our conversation with Wes.
Wes Ramsey is with
Wes
us.
Wes Ramsey. Man, I've been trying to track this guy down. This is like finding freaking Bigfoot.
Well,
and he is Bigfoot, by the way, because he's like 6'8".
Did you look in the cabin?
Listen, this guy in the cabin,
dude,
it's unbelievable.
You made a joke the other day, and Wes, you can speak to this. I don't know how fast you can grow facial hair.
I made a joke. I said I was in the Russian clinic for 5 years, and I didn't have any freaking hair growth. This guy's in the cabin for a week. He looks like freaking ZZ Top. Like, I mean, what? First of all, it was more than a week.
How long were you in that cabin?
Well, the storyline was several months,
In real time?
I think it was also several months.
Yeah, every time I went up, because you come in on the stage and then, the cabin was right there. Yeah. And I would just see poor Wes is tied to the bed.
So, okay, with, question.
What's your name? What's your name?
Kathleen.
Obrecht.
So, okay, so your arms were, how tightly were you, like, tied down?
I liked it when it was taut. When they would tie it tight, so I would theory, say tie it tighter. And
so then,
don't use
theory,
the word. Don't
were
use
you
the
just
word
laying,
taut.
Were you just
taut?
Especially around Sonny, you won't know what you're talking about.
So if we were to translate this to real life, would you just be laying in a pool of pee and poo?
I suppose so. I suppose a lot of fans online were asking about that. I didn't really have a definitive answer.
Right, because they weren't like saying,
hey, take a five.
Leading you to the bathroom. Right.
No, and I was so drugged and so, out of my mind in pain and whatnot, blacking in and out, that I couldn't think that they could even carry me outside or,
sure.
Want to look after
well,
me.
Well, hold on.
She was a doctor, right? Obrecht's a doctor. Maybe she catheterized
this is, hold
you?
Hold on. This is, and we're going to talk, Wes, about more important things.
Nope, pee
and
poo.
But the best was the freaking thing Laura sent me that when
you guys did a trio hug to the ground?
Poor Michael Easton was carrying you.
And then back. And then Jason Patrick Stewart, like,
it's not Jason Patrick Stewart.
James Patrick Stewart.
With
JPS, then like you guys all like did a back-to-back-to-back spoon to the ground?
Dude,
JPS jumped on our spoon, and we had a triple spoon to the grass.
So I didn't see the end of the scene because
so
they cut
like,
out.
You became like measuring spoons.
Totally. Three measuring spoons.
Who was freaking the tablespoon?
I was
McBain,
Peter August Heinrich Jr., and then freaking Valentine, whatever his name is.
Valentine.
So
yes.
okay.
Poor JPS. We've been messing up his name.
Finn is carrying Peter on his back out of the burning cabin.
And Michael's so funny.
There's a log that's on fire, and he has to lower down to get through the doorway, and he has to lower down, and the one take we do, he doesn't lower down far enough. So you just see my head crack against this big log, and you can hear it.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
Laura goes, did you just hit your head? She rewinds it. I said, yeah, that really happened. Then on the way through the grass, Finn falls down with Peter on his back, but Valentin decides to run over and join in.
Yeah, how do you join in? Was he trying to brace you from falling?
He was trying to help, and he ended up, and they cut away right at the moment. He just laid down right behind me. And snuggled himself in.
It's the funniest.
It happens in slow motion.
I cried.
It's the weirdest thing.
I cried watching it. I watched the thing 100 times, and I was like, "How? I want to know how this happened. Like, what was the end result? Like, they were all three laying on the ground, and they were like, cut. Good job, guys.
Nailed it.
The fact that it made it into the air show and they didn't cut around that was priceless to me. Oh, Laura and I watch it all the time. We still
so that was the end of your big escape was you're spooning with two men on the grass.
Yes.
Gonna make that into a GIF? A GIF? Is it a GIF or a GIF?
Both.
That's a good question.
GIF?
I don't know.
Giphy. So you came on the show as – we can get into your background, but you came on as Peter August.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes.
And it was interesting because you were holding my character in Russia for 5 years, and we still don't know what you did to me.
Right.
If there was anything romantically involved or...
Right. Right.
No, but we don't know...
Our true backstory.
We don't really have... Did anyone ever tell you?
No. Not yet.
Not yet. It's too late.
Yes, right. Exactly. I still go home and journal about what my backstory might have been.
So nobody told you pretty much anything anyway.
Correct. I had no idea that it was my goons that were chasing you through Port Charles I was becoming the COO of Aurora Media. I have no idea that...
I know. We were trying to piece stuff together, you and I, when we were doing scenes.
When you jumped through the skylight, I had no idea that had to do with people I had sent after. No idea.
That's not right.
I was told it was so top secret that they didn't want to have
trust. They didn't trust you, basically.
Listen,
either that or they just didn't know.
Yes. Well, that's true.
That could be that could be true too. But if you tell anybody anything in this building, it's out.
Right.
Like
if
it's even just it's out.
Right.
One person knows everybody knows.
I remember a bunch of years ago we had something called the text message killer, and I think their plan A for who it was going to be got changed. So there was a killer still killing people, and nobody knew I don't think it had been decided who it...
Yeah, then they figured out
who
it was.
And then, and everybody kind of knew that. They're like, oh, crap, who are they going to make the killer? Because then that character will probably
whose contract's coming up?
Right. But then they decided on nobody, so they brought a guy that had been killed... They brought Diego back and made him the text message killer. It's
but
funny.
I think they've always had it that he was going to be Heinrich.
I think so.
Right.
From what you know.
Yes. After the fact, yes.
Unfortunately, we're in the day and age of things go so fast that it's hard to get backstory.
Yeah.
Because I would have loved to know, just in their heads, hey, what happened to Jason for those 5 years?
Yeah.
I mean, was he just sitting in a wheelchair?
Right.
Or did we have interactions?
Right.
You know,
was I spoon-feeding you soup?
Were you spooning me?
Were
you spooning me? So, you know, it was like, then we're trying to figure it out on the fly. It's like, do I hate this guy?
Or was I even
sort
with
of
you?
Did you take me? Yeah. And then we kind of figured out, you know, you were kind of working against your dad.
Yes.
You know, and then things started to kind of fall into place.
Yes.
But it was weird because... For you, I felt – I didn't want to say I felt bad, but it was like he didn't have any direction.
Right.
Like on where to go.
Well, and also –
Right? He's doing all this stuff now. It's like, why did you do all this stuff even though you're going to get your dad, which makes sense, and you're sympathetic, but you're still doing these bad things. And it was just like it's hard to have a point of view when you really don't have any information, you know?
Right.
So anyway
–
complicated,
but it's out, obviously.
Yes,
and apparently you're very good at delivering babies on the roadside.
Yeah, well done, you. So are now, are you like, now that it's been revealed, are you just like normal Peter in Port Charles now? Like, or is how yeah, much I, of your story is related to the fact that you're Heinrich Faison versus, or are you just running a magazine now?
I feel like the writers did a good job of trying to allow Peter to leave Heinrich in his past
yeah.
while he was reinventing himself in Port Charles and trying to live a good, upstanding, moral life.
Are most people allowing? Because does everybody know?
At this point, everybody knows.
Right.
And the bad things that were done, I feel like... you know, I have people that remind me that there are other characters in the show that have done some bad things
yeah.
and that it's possible to, you know, be redeemed and whatnot. And I think the more time goes by, the more, you know, connection you have, you know, to the characters in Port Charles, the easier it becomes maybe to find how to play the sympathy card for, you know, maybe this person isn't so bad after all.
Yeah.
Even though he's been subjected to doing bad things to good people over the years.
Right. Yeah. I don't, there's no clean soap characters.
Yeah, there's not. Right. And the no, fact that
no, he's pretty drunk. Clean.
yeah. So far. And the fact that, Anna Finola is your mom.
Yeah. That's yeah.
Yeah. So how did that whole, I mean, I just know from the scenes that I did with her and Tristan. So, because I should be more of a historian of the show, I guess.
Well, you've been on it for practically the whole run of
oh,
it.
I want to die today. You're so stupid. Now I'm going to get a friend. I'm going to get a tweet that you call them stupid again. Not very nice.
Well, I called
you shouldn't berate him. And I don't know how she spelled that.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't say that stuff to him on air. Take him off air and just say it to him nicely.
No one ever criticizes me for calling you old, though. I've never got.
Well, because I'm not.
Well, you're stating fact.
And truthfully, we're not. We're far apart in age, but we don't look that far apart.
We're not that far apart in age.
10 years almost.
Yeah.
Are we on the radio right now, or do you guys pre-tape this and then air it later?
This is not live.
Yeah. No, it's funny because we did it with Ken Schreiner,
yeah.
and he thought it was live, and we probably should have told you that it's not live,
yeah,
because it's not.
Right. In case you need to edit it,
he edits everything.
Yeah,
this guy.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
in case someone
guy.
Needs to edit the STUP ID word.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, exactly. Yes. The Jackal edits too. Huh? Go figure.
Mostly in my favor.
Yeah. Apparently, it is in your favor.
You guys are hilarious.
So anyway.
This is my first podcast, so thank you guys for bringing
this
me
is
on.
Your f- invite- oh, that's
yeah,
cool,
it's
man.
It's the first time I've ever done
it. It's our
like
first
before.
One, too.
It's really cool.
If you couldn't tell.
No, you guys are naturals.
natural somethings. Not sure yet. So how did that whole thing go down with –
Well, the Finola stuff was,
yeah, with Finola,
you
yeah.
know, the character of Anna's been on so long and Robin and to figure out that you could be, you know, tied into that family lineage was exciting.
Amazing, right?
For me.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Because then I thought, you know, as beautiful Laura is so prone to remind me, she
does
says.
Does she make you call her that?
Was that a good, that was a good moniker.
Yeah, thank you.
Beautiful Laura.
Yeah.
Not
it's sort
Laura.
Of my default programming. It's kind of, you know,
beautiful.
Comes out
Laura.
That way all yeah. the time.
That's good.
Everybody yeah, knows you guys are together.
Yes,
so
yes,
that's,
yeah.
That's not
yeah.
a
and
secret.
she would remind me. She'd say, you know, it's not just that you're Faison's son. You're also Anna's son. So that's
right.
the difference between the dark and the light. And you know, you have to remember that there can be good inside of you as well. Yeah. And you're not this, you know, evil, twisted man. You're also the son of. You have the genetic code. Of Anna, so you have plenty of room for wit and redemption, and you know, being smart and savvy and wonderful like
well,
Anna.
Yeah, you know, the hardest thing. I know I'm doing most of the talking.
I'm trying to ask a question.
Thank God.
I just don't
because all the other podcasts are 80-20.
I get in trouble for interrupting, so I'm trying to interrupt less these days.
No, you don't. you get in trouble.
I do.
From, who's the first person you get in trouble from?
My wife.
Okay.
My
and
wife.
The second is me.
My wife.
My wife. Go ahead.
My question was, have you ever – where did Heinrich grow up?
Well, he was born in – well, in That's a good question.
Thank you. see, I ask great questions. Well, because your dad
is Danish.
Danish, yes. And your mom is British.
Yes.
So,
but he was immediately at a young age, Heinrich was shipped off to boarding schools, so he grew up in America.
In America, okay, that helps.
In American boarding schools.
So you never was like, oh, crap, he might have learned how to speak great English, but what is his native tongue?
Oh, gosh, don't do that to the poor guy.
No, I'm just curious, because international parents.
He's from Kentucky. His native tongue is hillbilly. It's called Hilljack.
Heinrich was sent to a boarding school.
In Louisville.
Hazard County.
Wes is from Kentucky, yes.
I was born and raised in Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
Louisville. Swallow the end.
Careful.
So my best friend from high school, Scotty, I was his best man, and all of his group of friends from college and did bachelor party excursions like they did. And it was my turn to plan one. And I was like, they've already done Vegas. They've done deep sea fishing. Like, where could be a small city that we could go where with like cool things to do, where we could do things really well for not a whole lot of money? So I was like, let's go to Louisville and do the bourbon trail.
Oh, that's right. It's very, very popular these days.
So we stayed in the presidential suite of it was one of the hotels.
Yes,
downtown. Yeah,
downtown. And we did the bourbon trail, and I thought the bourbon trail would be like wine tasting, where you just get to go and drink all the bourbon. No, you have to do a tour. You have to do a historic tour, and then they give you a taste of like the cheapest stuff at the end.
At the end, you get like a quarter of a shot for a 2-hour tour.
You get a thimble, yeah. In order to get another thimble of bourbon, I got to do another 2-hour history lesson.
In some county next door, we have to take another drive
to learn more history, which is cool, but it wasn't as
a cool hotel though, right?
Yeah.
So what's weird is. My dad,
Sealbach or the Brown?
Sealbach.
The Sealbach, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's
my dad's friend owned the Sealbach in the 90s.
Wow.
He took it from being dilapidated to its prime, and then he ended up selling it. But Louisville's fun, man.
Yeah.
It's a cool town.
Yeah.
But anyway.
My older brother's prom was in the basement of the Sealbach.
Oh,
he was 2 years ahead of me,
So, what was it like growing up in Louisville? I mean, was it
creative?
Yeah,
fun.
Yeah. I know they have that great theater festival and stuff.
The Humana Festival.
American
plays at Actors Theater of Louisville. Yeah, and I remember as a kid growing up there feeling really lucky when I was doing a lot of theater and became obsessed with it. And
that started at a young age
for
you? Were your folks
12.
Involved in theater?
Yeah. No, but they were super supportive. They, when I told them this is what I wanted to do, they sent me to these classes, and I ended up joining a young program there for kids 8 to 18, Walden Theater, and we did plays year-round, like 6 full-scale productions a year. And we would take classes through the week, and we'd theater history, acting classes, and even a playwriting class on the weekends. So I gave up all my sports and was spending all my time obsessed with theater. And I remember during that time, Louisville 1 year raised $5 million for their endowment for the arts. And at that same time, that same year, Cincinnati, Ohio, a much bigger city just up the river, Cincinnati raised a much bigger city raised $5 million for their endowment for the arts. That same year, Louisville raised $15 million theirs. So it was a really great place to be young and discover that you had, a creative imagination and some talent to cultivate. And I felt really lucky that I had a supportive family there.
So how did you find it, or how did it find you when you were 12? What got you into it?
I did a 3-week summer session at this theater program because I had discovered after doing a little musical play at my school that I being given a big role in it that I had a lot of fun and everyone was responding and laughing and enjoying my ability to be comedic on stage and be a physical comedy and be kind of goofy and then make everyone respond, and I thought, well, maybe there's something here. And so the 3-week session ended up being incredibly powerful, and there was a lot of dramatic work we did. And I was a very young kid, but I discovered that summer, oh, this is real. It's not just making people laugh. Like, I'm frightening people at times with what I find naturally able to do at this young age. And then I became sort of obsessed with it. I joined that program that fall and enrolled in. They moved me right to the advanced class. I was the youngest kid in the advanced acting class. So at that time, I was being treated like you were right to do this, you're right to be here. And the older actors were taking me under their wing and they were being very kind to me and spending time with me, talking to me and teaching me. And I was learning a lot about acting at such a young age and spending time with older creative actors.
Yeah.
I mean, I was 12 and some of my best friends were, you know, juniors in high school.
Yeah.
You know, not normal, but it was really cool.
That was great about doing theater as a kid is you hang around with like cool kids, like cool older kids. And it's very easy to be like, I just love being around these outgoing older kids.
Yeah.
And that are
inspiring.
That are free with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be free with them.
Sure.
So stupid. It always goes back to the you're young in a theater group with the ladies. You sound like an old man.
As a 15-year-old kid, I did. That's what got me into it, is doing summer stock in my small New England town with kids that were college age doing theater.
Right. You,
and I was like, they are the coolest kids I'd ever met.
Yep.
And man, like I want to be a part of that.
Yeah, told me what books I should be reading, turned me on to music,
right.
You know, bands and music I'd never heard before. And so I felt really, you know, like I was getting, being taken to culture school, culture school, not just the work itself.
And you have something in common with people. It's not often you can have something in common with somebody who's so much older than you.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
absolutely. Who wants to mentor you, especially at a young age. You couldn't do that anywhere else, really.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well,
you know, be 12 and have a 30-year-old be like, hey, no, do this. Read this book, man. This is cool. Oh, this guy's cool.
Right.
You know?
And there's something about...
And not freak your parents out.
Yeah, right?
Totally.
Well, because then you doing classes and then I'm sure you're doing productions too. And when you're... as a kid, when you're part of a group, part of a team like that, you know, we talk about team sport, you know, like kids do team sports. You know, if you're a kid and part of a company of a show... And you're spending hours upon hours with this group of people, and it becomes kind of like your bubble family for that 3 months that you're doing it.
Yeah.
Like, as a kid, being a part of something like that is intoxicating in a way, you know?
And like going away to camp.
Yeah.
The memories last a lifetime.
It's awesome until you have to get paid for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you think about it, the reason how excited you are talking about and passionate and how it just like your childhood was that and you have all these awesome memories. And then it's like, okay, now go try to make a living at it.
Yeah.
Oops.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And then it just kind of, it doesn't change, but it does in a way of changes. Like, okay, this is.
The creative veil gets pulled back and you discover, you have to discover
that
there's a business and there's all this other stuff. And then that's part of the innocence is a bit lost and you have to grow up and realize, oh, there's more responsibility to this than I, you know.
Today's episode of That's Awesome is brought to you by our friends at Best Fiends.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. So Best Fiends is our absolute favorite casual mobile puzzle game. And it is like, you know, your brain can get into a bit of a rut sometimes, you know, like the routines of our day. If you need to keep your brain refreshingly challenged, Best Fiends is an incredible way to do it. It's there for you, no matter what. Good times, bad times, kind of like you, Steve.
Oh, thanks, buddy. It is kind of like your ride or die friend, isn't it? It's always there.
It sure is. It's always there.
Can help you help lift you up or just kind of just decompress a little bit with Best Fiends.
Yes.
I mean, this game is, first of all, it's so cool looking. I know you always talk about the characters, but I always love the look of it. I always love that they change it seasonally. I love, you know, getting on in spring and it's a spring look. I love getting on summer and then it's summertime and fall and winter. It's amazing. I love seeing all that stuff. And with 100 million downloads, they're doing something right. So if you haven't checked out Best Fiends yet, check out Best Fiends. It's free to download. You're not going to be able to put it down.
That's right. And there's way more variety and strategy than most mobile puzzle games. Like what I like, it's not just the same monotonous thing. Like my brain will always look for different avenues and it always keeps my brain challenged. It's not just something that you tune out while you're doing, which I love. So download the 5-star rated puzzle game Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
Get it. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy.
It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
When did you come out to L.A.? Or did you go to college?
My friends, my older friends were going off to theater schools and they were sort of paving the way. And one went to NYU in New York and I went to visit, my friend there and discovered, oh, this is New York City. And so I just, thought, well, I'd love to go study theater here one day. And was very fortunate to be accepted into the Juilliard School, the 29th group in the year 96. And spent 4 years there studying classical theater. And then right after that, 3 months after graduation, my very first job was on Guiding Light. Rob DeCina, casting director, Paul Rausch, executive producer, and, playing Crystal Chappelle's little brother, Sam Spencer, on the show. That's awesome. Laura Wright was there playing Cassie, Cassie. So I was, then at my first job, learning about TV, learning about the camera, learning about
all different.
Was that experience with all those cool people in that great city?
Yeah,
so that was
for you, Wes. What was what was the biggest? Because if we've talked about it, if you're growing up doing theater, and that's how you're raised, and you don't really know TV, obviously we know as actors there shouldn't be a difference in the acting, right?
Yeah.
Someone says, "Oh, you're on a soap opera. I want to do soap acting." It's not different than movie acting or theater acting.
Yeah.
Theater's a little different because you are in front of a live audience and you always have to project.
Yeah.
And what was it like for you to all of a sudden be maybe bigger or grander?
Yeah.
And then have to be
right.
Come dial it down because, oh, there's the cameras. Okay, now I'm just talking to my scene partner here, and I don't have to talk to the guy in the back row.
Yeah, exactly. People talk about daytime being a great training ground. It was a great transitional ground for me because it feels like it bridges the gap between a proscenium of being on a theater. I mean, when I walk around the sets up here, it reminds me of theater stages, the way they're set up, and it's a great feeling. But, if you're on location in a movie and everything is, you're doing things 20 times in a row and it's all just 2 seconds of something and it's, everything's right in your face and it's so subtle. It's very different than the theater. But I feel like what we do, you can kind of have the best of all worlds in a way, because depending on the writing and depending on, what it needs to be, sometimes you really got to go for it, and they just move the boom further away.
Totally. Exactly.
And then, and you can make it that spectacular, and really you kind of go for it too, because we don't really have time to do 20 takes or even 5 takes, so it's not like we have that much time to figure it all out like you do in primetime or film. But I love that part of it because it feels like you're rehearsing a play. It feels like you're shooting the rehearsals of a play and you just keep the play going no matter what.
Well, and also, since we have multiple cameras on us at once, there may be one that's trying to get a close-up of us. But if you have the instinct to take a physical chance, like if you have a physical choice, chances are you're going to be on somebody's camera.
Someone's going to get it.
And they can go out to that.
Yeah.
They can go out to a wider shot if you are out of frame on your close-up. And for a lot of the stuff that we used to do, like a lot of the physical comedy stuff that we kind of lucked into, a lot of it because some of it wasn't planned.
Yeah.
And so like some of it was just the moments that we'd have turning into something else. And I never ever did it enter into my head, oh gosh, I shouldn't do this because I might not be on camera. And we also don't have to match anything here
which
is amazing.
Right.
Like you never have to think about, oh gosh, when we film this from the other direction, I move my hand and reach for this cup at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
I have to do that, or it's not gonna, like we don't have
continuity
any of that
for
stuff.
Coverage.
Yeah,
yeah. And the thing I got to commend you on, Wes, because I saw how hard. First of all, you're an extremely hard worker, which is you're always prepared, always hardworking. Your work ethic is awesome.
Thanks.
I don't know
how you have time to do your hair.
I wake up like
this. It's beautiful. But I gotta give him credit because I'm on the set. I'll be on the set, and he's doing these pretty highly emotional scenes. And usually, it's, hey, with even casting directors, if you're going on an audition or if you're doing a job, a director will say, give us a little more, right? It's always trying to get someone from 5 to 10.
Sure.
And with Wes, he always went for it.
Yeah.
Which is very difficult as an actor, first of all,
yeah.
to
yeah.
go, hey, balls to the wall. I'm doing it. I'm going. Yep. Get ready.
Yeah.
Because we only have one or two takes here.
Right.
And obviously he knows that. He sees it. And Laura's probably told him 100 times.
Yeah.
Hey, you got one freaking take.
Right.
You might as well go for it. And if it sucks or you don't like it or they don't, then you can dial it down and bring yeah. it back in.
Yeah.
And get another shot at it.
Yeah.
But if you do something that's like not where you think it might be right. for the first take and you get it out.
Yeah.
They're moving on.
Right.
And it could be a pretty pivotal scene or
right.
you know, run of scenes that you want it to go a certain way.
It could end up being like a fraction of what it could have been maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
But I always find if you really go for it, then you get that out of your system and it is easier to dial it down. And if they want that, then it can become powerfully concentrated, which can feel really good. I think it's more difficult when they want more and you haven't given more because then I click into it's right. not enough, self-conscious
push.
Nerves, whatever, right. and it gets to a different headspace of like, now I feel like I'm pushing to give them
yeah,
something.
Yeah,
you know,
I know, and you don't want to ever feel
especially
that.
Especially when you don't have a lot of time to rehearse yeah. or whatever, so you just want to kind of...
Or information.
Know. Or information.
Yeah. yeah.
yeah.
yeah.
So, I mean, but, you know, for you to do that, that's tough, man. That's your theater training. I'm just going yeah. for it, and yeah. I can dial it back.
Right.
Because 99 out of 100 times, it's the other way.
Right. Yeah.
The director's coming out of the booth.
Yeah.
Okay, look, we need you to get a little yeah. more here and this yeah. and that. I see it with people, you know, newcomers
sure.
Sure, yeah.
all the time. And I don't know, man. I'd watch your stuff. I'm like, oh, this poor guy's just throwing into the fire,
yeah.
man. You're throwing into the yeah. fire,
yeah.
you know.
Literally.
And you handled it, and it's great. And
thanks,
you did a
man.
Great job.
Thank
you. Know?
You.
And
well, that's what the directors are there for. You know, they take good care of us, I think. They see more that's going on than we do. They know more about the story, the producers, the writers, the scripts, the people in the booth. So I always trust that, you know, if I'm out there going for it, doing the best I can with what I think instinctively, then they're going to protect me. They're going to direct me. They're going to give me the notes
Hopefully.
I need. And if I can adjust,
yeah.
then,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
then they'll help all of us not look like, you know, idiots.
You know, I think, you know, and that's a good point because people don't really understand the difference between directors. Like movie directors run the ship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sitcom directors, it's half and half. Writers.
Showrunner.
Director, showrunner.
Yeah.
Here, the director is, you know, doesn't have the most power here.
Right.
You know, in daytime.
Right.
They're there to facilitate, to get
yeah.
the shots in a quick manner.
But we've got these great producers in the booth that can be giving the notes to the directors who are coming
Correct.
Down to talk to us and know how to talk to us. And then we just
Correct. But I think to your point,
yeah.
when someone cares and has a passion about what they're doing,
yeah.
that kind of inspires, reignites the passion that they got. They got in it to be a director.
Sure.
Right? Right? They
I
got
agree.
In it because they're artistic and
I
they
agree.
Wanna they
yeah.
wanna watch. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of these guys did plays and live TV
yeah.
and they want – They love acting.
Yeah, the excitement.
The excitement of it,
yeah.
you know. So I think that's
yeah,
that's great. Because
which sometimes, like in anything, you can lose some of that excitement when you've been doing one thing for a long time.
Of
you've
course.
Got to find, you got to trick yourself into finding ways to surprise yourself.
Right.
Not unlike we've talked about with working out. If you stay in the same routine, your body gets too used to it. You got to
totally,
trick it
dude.
To shake it up to get the results.
I know. When you do,
totally.
It's right. When you do one, when you do one push-up every month,
my body just
you
gets
have to do two at some point.
Just
your body's
used
just
to it.
Not going to change.
Body gets
right.
used to it.
I mean,
shock the system, man.
It's crazy.
Try doing a sit-up next. See
yeah.
what happens.
Oh, that'll be shocking.
Harry Potter can do some sit-ups over here.
People told me sit-ups are bad for me, and I'm okay with that.
Who's people?
I don't know.
Who's they?
The crunches. They're not good for your back or something.
yeah, right. Not your back. Nothing's good for your back, dude. Walking around.
It
upright's
hurts.
Not good for your back.
Troublesome.
Yeah. yeah, I know. It's crazy.
So Guiding Light for how long?
Year and a half.
Wow, that's a good run.
Yeah, you know, they it was one of those things where I just come out of school. I was so excited. I had these ideas of where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do, what I was capable of, and they wanted to, you know, sign me up and have me stay there for a long, long time, and I wouldn't give them, you know, even 3 years. I was giving them 6-month deals over time, and it was they were being very kind to me, but it was they don't do that, and
sure.
they were telling
and,
me we
and they don't like
do this.
And they don't
yeah.
like to do it.
And
it's
hard
to plan, yeah.
So I, you know, prematurely, for many years, I thought, jumped ship of my own accord and packed up and left New York and left the job, left all my friends and went to LA. And I'd never even been to California before, ever in my life. So just to start all over. And then, you know, the rude awakening of, you know, the next curtain being pulled back. And it's like,
sure.
here's what it's like to struggle and be force-fed the humble pie.
Where did you, you know,
until you choke?
Yeah. We talk about a lot of things on the show, but self-motivation.
Yeah,
it's interesting, man, because you find actors who were always kind of wanting. Oh, you did a great job. You know, we're wanting acceptance and some
affirmation.
Affirmation, yes, right?
Yeah.
And that doesn't go along with someone who picks up, quits a job, packs their bags, and goes to a place they've never been to try something they've never done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just interesting when we talk, because we've talked to a lot of actors, obviously, but it's interesting when you look at those personality types. Those two personality types don't go together.
Yeah.
Like, you're not looking for affirmation and have low self-esteem and all these things and be a pioneer of, hey, I'm packing up. Forget this paying job. I'm out.
Yeah.
It's just an interesting thing. Yeah. That was kind of a side note, but.
Yeah.
No, it's very true.
We talk about you and I, Wes, about personal growth a lot. So it's just interesting to look at that type, because we all want affirmation or acceptance, but then you're willing to just sacrifice everything for the love of what you do.
When you believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I certainly did at that time. And I was also told, hey, you know, take your risks when you're young, because this is when you can afford to get away with it. Like, get out there
the
when you're
young. The best advice you can ever, ever, that might have been top three smartest things we've heard on this podcast. Honestly, because you can attest to this.
Yes.
Bradford, and I can. Yeah. And listen, we've both been successful in our own rights, and in perception is we're very successful, and we have been very blessed and fortunate and lucky to do what we're doing and have great families.
Sure.
But you don't want to live with regrets.
Yeah.
You want it. Young, you can recover up until you're 35.
Yeah.
And you're young, you're whatever.
Ish.
But, you know, as a kid, you don't want to kind of sometimes take those chances. And whoever told you that, that's awesome. Because it's like you really want to take those chances.
Yeah, definitely words to live by.
Yeah, for sure.
Until it's too late.
Until that time is
passed.
Until
you take it a dirt nap. Yeah. He was a nice man.
So
never took a chance.
Yeah. How did you find L.A.? How did L.A. treat you?
You know, good. I found...
Where'd you live first?
I moved around. I had never moved before. In that first year, I moved five times. So it was hard to get settled. It was crazy. And once I did get settled, I was fortunate to shoot my first movie and have a great experience doing that. An indie film that is called Latter Days. And it actually has, you know, gone on to be, you know, a bit of a little iconic indie film over the years. And really proud of the work, and that was my first experience of what it was like to make a film and to work on something in that medium that I was really proud of. And when you see the writing, the potential in the writing, and actually have it come to fruition, it's something that stays with you. I was working with, you know, Jacqueline Bisset in that movie, and she had done so many films, and she reminded me, don't take this for granted, because this isn't like most movies and experiences. So I felt, you know, fortunate to have that in the beginning, and a short-lived sitcom, which was wild to shoot in front of a live studio audience. It was fun and exciting, and I wish it had lasted longer on Fox. And then it became time to settle into, oh, this is what it is like to get really close on some big jobs and lose out.
Yeah.
To have a lot of time go by when you're not, you're not busy on set, and you're trying to figure out how to keep your head on straight, and you're trying to figure out what to do with what little savings you have left, and how to manage the long-term game, and realize it's got to be a marathon and not a sprint. And there were some lean years there, but I had some friends and a supportive family that were always there for me, reminding me to believe in myself. And then
it's awesome.
You know, and then you find some jobs along the way that keep you really motivated and remind you, hey, not only is this the right thing for you to be doing, but you're good at it, and you still enjoy it as much as you always have, if not more, when you have that opportunity to get back out there and do it. So, you know, cut to all these years later, honestly, 20, to be able to come back to daytime, it's so such a full circle. Like, really, to me, it feels almost like the most spiritual part of my journey that I've ever come to understand has been this last year, when I was given a chance at my age to go back to where it began for me, and to do something, to commit to something that I had once turned my back on, and say, now you have a chance to know what it would be like if you put everything you have into it.
Yeah.
How good can you be in this medium? Yeah. You know, so this opportunity for me, I wake up every day like pinching myself, saying, knowing how grateful I am, saying, this is not a dream. This is real. Keep going.
Nice,
that's
man.
That's awesome. Yeah, second chances are cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Because I got a second chance
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
right. That's right. We were talking about that.
I came out of the river. Heinrich pulled me out of the river. Thank you, Heinrich.
Oh, that's
Thank
right.
you very much well, for bringing me back to General Hospital. You should get the credit. I've been giving
that's
Frank
right.
the credit.
Did I pull you out?
I should give Heinrich the credit.
One of my minions?
One of your henchmen.
I think Faison had me had the guys ready as soon as you shot me to pull me out, and then he handed me off to you
to dispose of.
To finish me.
Yes.
And then you said, I can't.
Yeah.
His eyes are so pretty.
Right.
That he has to stay alive.
Yeah.
So.
And one day when I want revenge on my father, I will take the collar off you and sick you loose on him, and you will go after him, and I will somehow marionette my way through that crazy. That's the way I see it. I feel like at that time I was planning.
Oh, planning.
Planning.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know why I was planning it for so long. 5 years is a long time to
because I was on because I was on Young and the Restless.
Right, right.
Foiled
with the
wait,
hell
wait,
of a mustache too. I saw a clip.
Oh yeah, I had
a
goatee. It
was
goatee.
Amazing. Yeah, that's a really
yeah. Yeah, it was cool.
Where do you think I got my
cool.
inspiration?
Yeah, yeah, dude, it was awesome because I had to. First of all, this is the funny story.
How much shoe polish did they put in it to
nothing.
Darken it so it wasn't gray?
I did. First of all, it wasn't gray.
It was the Keith. Keith
listen,
Hernandez box? Was it the Keith Hernandez
listen,
box in the Just for Men?
Treading on thin ice today.
Say goodbye to your audience. Say goodbye to your fans. So they were like, you know, I was going undercover on YNR. It was
dangerous.
It was actually cool, dude. It was my exit story. And I was supposed to be from somewhere on the East Coast. So every
somewhere where they all have goatees?
New York or Jersey, okay. Right? So Jay Bontadibus, who
yeah.
passed away, our friend, who's an actor, he passed away of cancer. Love the guy. But he was, I don't even know if he's from New Jersey. He's from Boston. He's from
yeah.
somewhere over there, right?
Great
and
name.
He's Italian. And,
yeah.
You know, he always had the chains and the rings
yeah.
and the goatee. And so I actually modeled this after him.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, so I'm like, this is guy. And but I know. Because my accents are so bad anyway. And I know, like, for the first day, I nailed it. I know it. But then you do something, like, 3 weeks later.
Right.
And then I don't know what I did the first time.
How to match
so,
it.
Sure.
So I know it was some Jersey or New York Goomba something. But it was funny to do, you know, just something different. Because people
yeah.
didn't recognize me. I had the goatee, and it was just fun to do. But, you know. So Heinrich pulled me out of the river.
Yay, Heinrich.
Yay. But it was fun. But it's great to be back, and we got to work together, and we don't really get to work together much anymore.
Not now, but hopefully
yeah.
we will, I hope.
And they kind of dropped the ball a little bit with the whole – because I was, you know, working with Anna a lot when we were tracking you down. Because
yes.
we figured out you wrote the severed branch, I
yeah.
guess. Somehow you figured it out.
Yeah, that was me.
Okay, great.
So
make yourself
the
comfortable.
Jackal strikes again.
Look, make yourself comfortable. Stretch out on my couch.
Yeah.
Like the freaking.
You want me to feed you some grapes?
Look
well,
at this
I
guy.
Was, I was
fan you.
This
I
is
was,
like every roommate I ever had.
I was
hey, I'm going to work, guys. We'll be right here, Steve.
I was hunched
Play
over.
Xbox.
My back was hurting. I was hunched over, and I don't even want my back to hurt.
Oh, that's the day that you like pulled another disc or something.
Yeah, I don't want to mess with that.
You need to stop deadlifting so heavy.
No, I'm saying that's the day.
Let's help you with the form.
You found the email.
Oh my gosh, that's right. The day that we were that's exactly right. The day that we decoded your hidden messages in the severed branch.
We hacked your email, or we
yeah.
finally got into
I
your emails.
Had thrown my back out so bad that I was like I was crooked.
Oh, my God.
And so I was sitting at the desk like Larry King, and it was Kelly and Steve.
Totally, dude.
Were there, and it was
like you have scoliosis or
yeah,
something?
Oh, dude.
Just
he
like,
could,
oh, my.
For him to move, they had to not give him a cross because they were going to, you know, show his cross from the door to the desk.
Yeah.
And it took so long.
Yeah.
that we had 17 commercial breaks
yeah.
from when he broke from the door to the desk right. and I grew a beard
yeah.
because right. he was so right. messed up
yeah.
and we were trying not to laugh, but
it was pretty sad.
You know, he likes to bust my chops that I'm yeah. the old guy
yeah.
and he should have had a walker.
Yeah.
Wow. And we've told this story, I think, in the pod before, but I walk in here. Steve's in here. And he's like, dude, what's wrong with you? And I just take my shirt off because I wanted him to see how crooked I was. And it was like, I don't know, it felt like an 80s movie where I was like coming on to you a little bit.
He's right? like, dude, look at this. I go, what are you doing?
What are you yeah. doing?
So he takes his shirt off and his right shoulder is 2 feet below his left. And yeah. I threw open my mouth and I chewed it. oh gosh!
Hilarious.
But anyway, so we found that you were the guy
yeah.
that severed
yeah,
he
yes. figured that
day,
out.
Whatever.
So,
but anyway, we missed. I kind of missed the. Anna or Finola and I were working together so much. Who I love her.
Yeah, she's great,
amazing, and yeah. And then it kind of just kind of fell off.
Yeah,
and then someone kidnapped her, and
yeah.
nobody knew, and
right.
and then he's tied up in the log cabin.
Yeah, but she's had a little time off. That
yeah,
affects
she,
our ability to have
sure,
story.
Sure, of course.
With her,
yeah, she took some time off. Yeah, which she did. She was
sure.
She's got kids, and
yeah,
she they were
time.
working the
sure.
heck out of her.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
she's never complains. That
yeah.
she never ever.
Is Peter still hanging around, Maxie?
Oh, here comes yeah. the questions.
Yes, that would be
okay.
an affirmative.
You are,
yes.
huh?
Wait a minute.
Yes, and I, you know, which I think is a good thing. I think there's
yeah.
for who.
Well, I think there's a lot of room for redemption for a
character. Oh, so you're using her for redemption is
when,
what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you want to get technical about it,
yeah.
Peter's entire life, he has wanted to know what it was like to have a real family.
I want to know what
some
love
kind
is.
Of family.
Well, right.
He wants to know what love is. He wants her to show him. Stupid.
Sing it. Cool. But I don't think he knows that you guys were together.
Do you, Wes?
Wes, yes. Wes knows. So you were
Spinelli
answering
and Maxie. Yes,
you were
have
answering
a backstory.
As Peter.
Yes.
Okay.
Peter does not.
Oh, he slipped into character.
If you're going to slip from Peter to Wes,
see.
You should let
yes.
yeah.
let everybody
or at least speak in the third person, instead of first person.
Okay. So Wes knows
yeah.
that Maxie and Spinelli.
Yes.
Were almost
so,
a super couple.
Yes.
Almost. Perilously close to becoming a
You guys
a
were
yes.
close. You guys were close. You guys are awesome. So you're delivering babies
yeah.
on the side of the road.
Right.
And did that forge a connection? I know you and Maxie kind of had a connection before.
Yes,
but
and then
it...
telling you and then telling Spinelli about it on the phone.
Oh, wait. I was
yeah,
there in those
moment,
scenes too.
Yes.
Remember he called you right after email.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Oh, who's the old guy with no memory? Who's the old guy?
Oh, and then I raced off. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my
and then
gosh.
I wouldn't say raced. That wouldn't be the word.
Yeah, hobbled.
And then I raced to the docks. And then you were at the docks. And then we had all those
had all
scenes.
Scenes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So have you guys
has she gotten over the fact that you kind of like were responsible for her husband's death? Has she kind of got over that?
You know, I don't know when this podcast is going to air, but we have been able to shoot a lot of really great scenes lately that
mm-hmm.
are about letting go of the past and
oh.
being able to heal and move forward.
Letting
yeah.
go of Spinelli.
And,
yeah.
And healing and moving forward
and
without Spinelli.
Yeah, and maybe letting
Ouch.
Go of some of the Heinrich mistakes and some of the
yes.
pain of the...
some of the Spinelli mistakes.
Yes, because
oh.
I... Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Interesting.
We have a kid.
So, I certainly have never said... I certainly know...
We have a kid.
Peter has never said Spinelli is a mistake.
Right.
He's
no,
never
I know.
Said
We're,
that.
I have to bust his chops. But did you guys... Have you guys kissed yet?
We have not kissed yet.
Okay. Ooh, you have
okay.
a chance.
Guys, yes. So you're saying there's a chance.
Because trust me.
I welcome
when
the,
this guy
I welcome
starts
the
kissing on a chick.
Yeah. Well, I'm in trouble.
With the hair and the
I
blowing
know.
Hair. You I make know. Fun of my long hair when I took the speedboat to Spoon Island.
Yep.
This guy, the hair.
Do you have a speedboat?
And the golden light and
does,
the kiss.
Does
it's
Peter
over.
Have a speedboat?
Peter can have anything he wants. Peter, he's got a lot of money.
Where does Peter? Where does Peter get his money?
Heinrich.
Well,
I mean, Faison. Yes.
The WSB froze all Heinrich's accounts and took all of his money.
Right.
So Peter was left penniless after he was released from PCPD and WSB custody.
It's a lot of letters.
Yes. And then he went to see JPS. And actually, you know, the character Valentin owed him big time for the whole childhood Valentin taking Peter from the adoptive family, Heinrich from the adoptive family, taking him from and putting him with Faison. And
that's how that tied in.
Yes, that's okay. How Peter ended up spending his life with his abusive father was because Valentin took him from the good home as an infant, where he was supposed to have been adopted after Anna dropped him off, and moved him to Faison to hurt Anna and to have control and leverage over
Anna.
Man,
we just sounded like minions right there. Like,
so that,
so because that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Long-standing, painfully deep mistake to have made. It gives Anna and Peter both a real issue with Valentin.
Did you get to punch Valentin?
So did he give you money or something?
When Peter went to see him and said, "You owe me big time," he insisted that some of the Cassadine money be used to front Peter's new business by buying the Invader tabloid in Port Charles so that Peter could reinvent himself
Invader.
and have his own career and have his own ability to try and start over and have a new life for himself. So he did take the money from Valentin to start over after all of his money was taken from.
So you worked at Aurora. You didn't own it.
I did not. Drew hired me to be the COO.
Oh, yes. I think that was my money. You're welcome.
Yes. Chief Operating Officer.
Oh,
right.
Yeah,
your money.
Yeah, sorry. I probably gave it to him. Sorry.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Now, was that money,
I love this
that
guy.
Money earned, honestly?
Sure was. Coffee.
Coffee.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay,
absolutely.
There we go.
Absolutely. Coffee importers.
Coffee and Corpses. That's the name of their coffee shop.
Coffee and Corpses.
And there's another word in there. Not loyal friends. While the other friend might be gone on a trip somewhere or in Russia. And this guy just, you know, didn't care and gave my money away and everybody.
He looked so much like you.
I got so confused.
I know, it's so funny.
God, that guy looks like, here's his money.
Yeah. Forget the show. I don't want to talk about the show. Let's talk about Laura Wright.
Oh, right.
We should probably mention her.
Why talk about on-screen love interest when we can go for the real thing?
Well, absolutely.
Right.
I mean, why not?
Right.
I mean, good gosh. So you guys met when you came back or before you came back to daytime?
We originally met in New York all those years ago, 15, 16 years ago. You know, I was smitten, but I couldn't, you know, hit on her. She would ask me to run lines in the green room, and I would try to make sure she didn't catch me staring at her, but I was in awe of her. I just also knew she was married and having her beautiful children and had an awesome life, and I was just sort of wanting to find a way to work with her, but our storylines never worked together on the show. So I was like, well, you know, we could be friends, but I was never on the show long enough to really become friends. But we used to run lines and laugh together in the green room. So cut to 15, 16 years later, we're at an Emmy party and we run into each other. And it was like we were two little kids that just, you know, we're on the playground like, hey, and having fun. And we have been inseparable ever since. It was the moment she told me I was like, what do you mean you're single? Please give me your number. I want to take you to dinner.
Please.
Yes, please.
Yes.
And she's like, what? No way. She thought I was teasing her. I'm like, no, I'm totally serious.
That's awesome.
Who would tease Laura Wright?
Well, because I'm afraid I'd get hurt.
Right.
Well, that's Carly would hurt you.
Yes.
Laura wouldn't really hurt you the same way.
That's true.
She's sweet.
She's so sweet.
Not as sweet as Carly.
Yeah.
I mean, Carly's not as sweet as Laura.
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
That's true.
That's
awesome.
That's great, man.
What a cool, how things have lined up to be here, to be in a great relationship where I mean, gosh, you probably see each other a lot.
Yeah. we do. We live together now. But
you don't work. You're not necessarily working
together.
We've never
had a scene. We've had one little scene. The moment the shooting with Faison and Nathan was happening up in Crimson, that was a moment we crossed paths in the Metro Court lobby. Right. And the only scene, I think the writers were throwing that for the fans, a little interaction. But our characters never crossed paths.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when you're working together, that is a whole different thing.
Totally.
You know?
Well, you know, we do work together. Is it the 26th today? It is.
It is.
Yeah. So exactly 1 year ago right now, she was helping me. This is months after we ran into each other at the party and started seeing each other. I'd gone off to do a movie in my hometown, actually, and came back to L.A. And we had sort of manifested together the idea of, can you imagine how fun it would be if one day, you know, we were working together? And she was like, you should come on my show. You're so good. And you need to come back to dates. I was like, well, all right. I'm open to the idea of it.
Sure, yeah.
Well, in September, I was invited to produce a session to meet Frank. And read for Frank, but I had screen tested for Frank in New York in 2009.
Oh, for One Life?
So for One Life to Live. Yeah. And I didn't realize then, I never knew that he wanted very much to work with me then and wanted to cast me in the role and didn't. And the show was basically on its last leg. And he basically, his take was, I didn't want to do that to you in that way then. I didn't know that years had gone by and he had never forgotten about me or wanted. I just didn't know that. And I was thrilled to read for him and see him here and have that shot. And then a week later when the screen test rolled around, that was actually September 27th. So that's a year ago tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
That I screen tested here.
Wow.
And came inside the hallway for the very first time.
Wow.
And Laura had helped me prepare for my screen test for a week leading up to that and really helped me dial it in so I would give the best audition of my life, which I think I did. And
you did something right.
Yeah, and it was fun. I got to work with Roger Howarth and Finola, and Roger Howarth.
Oh, cool.
And it was great. And it went so well. And and it was awesome to have Laura as a scene partner.
Oh,
to
yeah, dude.
Help me
Absolutely.
Dust off the cobwebs and really swing for the fences. And then we ended up manifesting our wish came true. Now we can carpool to work and
it's really fun to have someone that obviously gets your. Understands your life and your hours. That's a big deal, right?
Yes.
But not only that, to be able to work on stuff and not just understand it, but understand it completely.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like reading lines with, you know, even if you're friends with other actors, when they're reading a General Hospital script, if they're working on your lines with you, I mean, who's going to know it better than Laura, right?
Who understands the medium and, and she was a great scene partner to help me get ready for that. Because, I mean, you know, I don't know if people think that because Laura and I are together that I can just get a job, a contract. It doesn't work that way.
It does not work that way.
Yeah. I mean, I had screen tests. There were 10 other guys screen testing for that role. And they were comparable. I mean, competitive and...
Comparable and good looks, you meant.
Yes. Yes.
Comparable, but my hair was better.
Yeah, well, I had a good hair day that day. I will admit to that.
Do you have bad hair days? Getting back to my initial question, do you look at it and
not
be like,
anymore.
Ooh,
not
it's
that
a
I'm
little out of place?
Not anymore. Now that I'm back in daytime, my hair actually is never looks
never
looks
unkempt.
My hair's never looked better. Thank you.
Yeah. It's another one of the great perks of being back in daytime is I get to wake up with perfect hair every day.
Yeah. Well, speaking of people with perfect hair...
we have a question now? I don't know what this is. Is this usually
the tweet of the week.
Oh, now you're messing with...
But this is a question, and...
Does that mean we're wrapping up?
Thankfully, Wes has agreed to stay for this part of the podcast. So I didn't feel like we need to...
We have so much more to talk about, by the way.
Yeah, and we're going to have a barbecue afterwards, too.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
We're going to spend all day together.
So, but speaking about hairdos and appeal and... men in daytime. This person, Nikki, wants to know, does Steve really get Jason's appeal? Because sometimes he makes comments about Jason's personality that makes it seem like he doesn't. So do you really know how great you are? is what I read that question. do you really know how great you are?
I have to answer this for him.
That's what I think. I feel like.
All right, Wes is leaving now. No. Yeah.
Do you get Jason's appeal?
Well, this is a guy who didn't probably ever know who Jason really was, right?
Yeah,
how much about the show about General Hospital 15 years ago?
Laura helped me with the research once it became very serious. You know, the idea of me potentially being here, I needed to understand what was what.
Okay.
Yeah, and obviously she filled me in. Because at the beginning, before I ever even was asked, would you be interested in going back to daytime? And, you know, because I thought, well, if the time's right and the role's right, we'll see. But no one was calling about an audition. And she was coming home from work so happy every day because she was like, you don't understand. This guy Stevie B's coming back. It's amazing. Oh, no, 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 no. And I was like, oh, wow, this sounds so exciting. I'm so happy you're happy with work right now. And I didn't understand the ins and outs of what that really meant for the show. Now, of course, I'm like, oh, that's epic.
Epic.
Epic, yes.
And there's just a lot of appeal.
Well, yeah. Look, dude.
Jason's appeal and Stevie B's appeal.
We joke about our characters, right?
Well, you have to.
I mean, I have to joke about myself.
Yeah, and if you don't, I'm happy to help.
You are happy to help, and that's why you were my best friend. But, you know, it's funny because, you know, it's Robo Jason, or he's a robot, or he's got no personality.
The Borg.
Now, the Borg, those things could have been kind of funny and true prior to me coming back this time.
Yeah.
Because this time I actually have a personality, I feel, which is probably way out of character.
Thanks to Heinrich.
Yes. That's why I blame Heinrich.
Yeah.
He gave me personality juice.
One of the many things injected during the 5 years.
Yes. Yeah, so I cry a lot. And I have fun, and I smile probably more than Jason has ever smiled in a year. I've been here a year too.
Yeah,
I watched Steve take some pictures today,
and he had
this really good looking smile.
No,
on his
that's
face.
Not what you said.
I said goofy. Look at him with that goofy smile.
He goes, because I've never smiled. So he's like, look at that goofy smile.
Yeah.
I said, look at that freaking goofy guy that I'm going to punch right after the photo shoot. But it's true. I don't know, man. Look, dude, it's you got to make fun of yourself.
Well, that's the thing.
And I did have really, you know, one look. And I you know, when I started the character over, I was supposed to not have emotion. And it took a while to get emotion again. Mm-hmm. And
all part of the healing process, by the way.
It was all part of the healing and learning process. So, but I have fun now. I probably have too much fun at work, and I shouldn't have this much fun.
Who knows how many expressions you were having underneath that mask?
A lot.
You could have just
been... underneath my one look, I am a heck of an actor.
Yeah, when you get the... Yeah.
I have a lot of looks under my one look. Internally, I'm amazing. It's amazing, dude.
I think part of what's very difficult to do and to do well, and part of what I think you're exceptionally good at, is everything that you are able to deliver and give behind your eyes in the storytelling, the things that you...
Did you almost start crying there?
He did. Because he's staring right at me, and we had a moment.
Yeah.
And again, you showed your jealousy
by interrupting
a moment that Wes and I had. You know, sometimes you need to learn not to be on this podcast. Because Wes and I both have glorious hair, beautiful eyes, and we are connecting as two men.
Yes. Aww.
And it can be emotional.
Yes.
Thank you, Wes. You'll be back.
You're right.
It'll be Wes and Steve, the Wes and Steve podcast.
You'll be introduced
and
as the new
co-host next
week.
Maybe we'll have Bradford Anderson on.
I'll be the first
in about a year.
Yeah. Thanks, dude.
For sure.
Well,
but man, I know we could talk forever because we can. But thank you so much for just, you know, I'm glad it finally worked.
Yeah,
because we've tried a few times to get you here.
I know.
And we say this all the time, but people always, you know, send us like, have this person on the podcast, have this person on the podcast.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times they don't realize that we don't, like, you guys don't all line up outside the door. Right. And we're like, all right, your turn. It's right, you. It's right. You today.
No, but it was really nice of you guys to contact my agent and set this up.
Your agent, Laura?
You're right. My agent, Laura Wright. Yeah.
Did this guy.
Laura's World.
Yeah, so
hashtag.
Because in the building, there's dressing rooms that don't get reception.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So you're, you know, you come down for like, you bless us here now.
Sometimes.
And you bless your friend who has a podcast with you.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, Steve, I'm coming down. I'm getting new glasses. And we have a podcast to do. And I have 3-hour window.
Yeah.
Get who you can.
Yep.
And that's what, those are the messages I get.
Basically it.
I'm like, listen, bitch.
Yeah.
You don't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Get your jackal ass down here.
Yeah.
And you're gonna sit on the couch.
Yeah. Set up shop.
So I'm texting. I'm like looking at the sheet. I'm like, oh man, Wes. I'm texting him. Nothing. He's in a room that doesn't get service.
Yeah.
I'm texting Laura. He's like, she goes, I just Snapchatted him. I WhatsApped him.
Yeah.
I've done all these things.
I foursquared him.
I MySpaced him. Yep. I got him.
And
he can't do it. But I was like, come on, man.
That's amazing.
It was great because we had Max Gale.
That's right.
Oh, cool.
We had Max.
Very cool.
And then, so today, we're doing this big photo shoot here, right? And then Max comes up to me. And I don't know if you've seen the car. He drives a very big van.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like,
vintage.
Like a VW bus?
No.
No.
It's like an A-team van.
Yeah.
But it's not the A-team.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So it's the van down by the river.
Right.
And our spaces aren't conducive to bigger cars here.
Yes. Yeah.
So he came up to me today and he goes, I got to talk to you for a second. I'm like, what's up, man? He goes, I dented your door.
Oh, no.
I'm like, what do you mean, dude?
Yeah.
He's like, he goes, yeah, I you didn't notice? I said, no, I didn't notice. He goes, yeah, I couldn't get really out. So I had to give it a little shove and I dented your door. I'm like, come on, man.
Come on, man.
What do I got to do now? Go get a body shop? This is crazy talk.
Yeah.
So I was like, can you have this guy park?
And then he told you he was joking?
No. He told me it's true, and I haven't seen it yet. I got to go out and look at my car. I'm like, can you have this guy park somewhere away from me?
Right.
In the van lot.
Somewhere, because it's not the first time. He's been like so razor close. I'll go, this guy is not getting out of this car.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he didn't without making mine a can opener.
But doesn't he have like a bunch of doors in the van that he could have got out of?
He could have got – he had many escape routes. The moonroof, sunroof, back doors. But anyway, Wes, thanks for your time,
Thank you so much, man.
Of course, guys.
Who's the question? Nikki?
That was Nikki.
Nikki,
thank you for the question.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
I just want to say one more thing
about
Wes because, you know, people really don't know. He's kind of going on the road a little bit and doing some appearances. But just a really hardworking, really nice, really humble guy. And he's just a pleasure to have here at work.
Agreed.
Because we need people with, you know, positive energy and just.
It's like any workplace, right?
Who want to work. You know what I mean? You come to work, you're happy. He's happy to be here, happy to see people. And it's just a pleasure, man.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
All right,
and I love your hair.
It's true. I mean, I wouldn't have talked about it so much if I didn't love
it. That's true. He's jealous.
So we'll talk about your secrets after.
Thank you, guys.
All right, man. Thanks, Wes.
All right. Bye.
All right. That was awesome. Wes Ramsey, ladies and gentlemen.
Stay tuned.
We got some good
stuff coming.
So speaking of good stuff, we got to talk about the tour dates real quick because tickets are going and there are limited capacities, all that stuff. So we're going to be out on the road at the end of May, stonecoldandthejackal.com. Baltimore, I believe Raleigh is sold out, West Palm Beach, Orlando, Tampa, Birmingham, Huntsville, and Nashville. Get your tickets because we're expecting with the limited capacities that it will sell out and a few places are pretty close. So make sure you check the website, stonecoldandthejackal.com. We got a ton going on always on YouTube, on Patreon. Check out Patreon, our Patreon page. It's awesome. We do a lot of exclusive stuff over there. We do bonus podcasts. We do parties. We do Motivation Mondays, Thirsty Thursday. We do so much.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a big announcement coming up too here for June.
That's right.
But we won't say it yet, but it's coming. So
Check
out Patreon, man. We're in there all the time. That's where we are. That's where
it's true.
That's kind of where we're living now. So it's pretty awesome. But.
And all of that stuff you can find on our website, stonecoldandthejackal.com. You'll see little tabs at the top that say tour dates and events, exclusive access, which is Patreon. You can find our music, the songs that we've sung. You can find our YouTube page. You can find it all right there. So it's your one stop. And you can find our merch. We have merch too. We forget about that.
Too many things, man.
So many things. So thank you all for tuning in again, and we'll be talking to you next week.
You guys are awesome. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy.
It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
7 years ago, college wrestler Damien Hurd disappeared from a party in Gunnison, Colorado.
Everyone had been drinking or whatever, the usual party scene.
When, how, and why he left are questions I need your help to understand.
Nobody's heard from him.
No, it's just like he disappeared.
From Cold Case Productions and Podcast One, Final Days on Earth, The Life and Death of Damien Hurd. I'm your host, Claire Sanima. Join me April 20th for the season premiere.